You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm on the coast of this wonderful show. And on today's podcast, we're doing another What If edition, this time involving Paul George and the Supermax. But first, today's podcast is brought to you always by Built Bar, a great protein bar snack. And if you use the promo code Locked On right now, you get $10 off your first order if you go to BuiltBar.com. So, Paul George, we all know who he is. He is a famous Pacer player, opportunity to be maybe one of the best Pacers of all time if he didn't, you know, decide to leave now 3 years ago. There are a couple big turning points in his career and moments that you could do a what if on, right? So you talk about like anything from the Kawhi trade, if they had been paired together here in the first place, to some of the trades for him at the end of his career. But I think one of the moments I think is one of his biggest what ifs is, what if Paul George had made the All-NBA team in 2017, qualifying for that Supermax, would he have taken it? Maybe. And if he had qualified, would it have changed the course of this Pacers team? A couple of directions I'm going to go, but the first one I'll start with is the first kind of simple question is, why didn't he qualify for Supermax in the first place? So Paul George's 2016-17 season can be defined probably in kind of a tale of two seasons and really almost three if you think about it, right? So you talk about kind of the first, I think you want to say like 50, I have it up, 50 games basically. He averaged about 22 points per game, 6 rebounds, 3.3 assists on like a 44.6 and 38.2 shooting and 91 from the line. So a good start. Not great for all NBA centers, right? At this point in 2016-17, we're talking about, you know, there are legitimately like 8 good forwards in the league at this point, right? So that year, All-NBA, the first team was LeBron and Kawhi, then it was Giannis and KD, and then it was Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, and then obviously behind them would be PG. I think came in 7th. You can throw in Gordon Hayward at this time too. Hayward probably had his peak season in 2016-17 before he got injured. I think another guard, I'm not sure if Cousins would qualify as a forward. Same with Towns at the time, but both guys were also pretty good players. Adding that, and then the next kind of forward, I guess LaMarcus Aldridge also was another player at this point, who all could have made the All-NBA team this year. I mean, the forward position is one of the more stacked positions, and that's kind of the problem with the All-NBA award for Supermax is that, you know, particularly in this season, I mean, I think PG had a better season than, you know, John Wall or even DeAndre Jordan, but because he was not a center or because he was not a guard, he got kind of screwed because of the stacked forward position. Just in my opinion, I guess, the way to put that. He almost actually ended up with more points than Jordan, who got 54 points to make the All-NBA, and Paul George got 40. I mean, that's how kind of stacked the league was in terms of, there's not a lot of depth in the center position versus the forward position. So PG season, right, so he had that first kind of half where he was good, not great. Then All-Star break happens, boom, turns it right around, right? So his last 25 games he played, he averages 26.4 points, 7 rebounds on 49, 41, 87 shooting, almost 50, 40, 90. And if he had put up these stats all season long, there's absolutely no way he would have not made All-NBA, one of the three All-NBA teams, right? So the guy who he was probably competing with the most, just because, I mean, 2016-17, remember that was the year that the Warriors won a bunch of games, and you have to almost think at that point that their, you know, superstars are all going to get it, right? So at that point, KD is with them, but like you have to assume that they're going to get their four best players because they won, you know, 68 games or something crazy like that, right? So you had, you know, I think actually this is the year Steph made the second because he got hurt, but you had Steph make it, you had Steph, KD, and you had Draymond. I guess you didn't have Klay Thompson make the team this year. I wonder if he got hurt in 2016-17 as well. Maybe that's why he didn't make it as well. But so Jimmy Butler's stats this you know, 16-17 year are 23.9 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. So the numbers PG in on a 45-37 shooting and 86 on the line. So if Paul were to put up the stats that he put up towards the last 25 games, easily would have beat out Jimmy Butler by far. And really, this can be almost distilled down to a stretch where PG just basically mailed it in for part of the year, right? So he had a stretch here where he basically puts up, so, I mean, it's about a month stretch where he puts up like 21 points per game, shoots 45 from the field. I mean, he had these stretches during the year where it looked like he just didn't try or care, and then he got hurt at one point early on in the year, and that set him back for a while, but it just, it was almost like he came in the year knowing he wanted to leave. I know, shocking fact. And then at some point he decided after he didn't get traded in the midseason that he was going to like at least, I don't know, go for it, I guess, or at least try to push the All-NBA. Right? I remember him at the end of the year after they made the playoffs saying, when asked what, if he should be an All-NBA player, he's like, of course, I'm one of the best, you know, 15 guys in the league or whatever. And, you know, I think just because the way he played early on, I think he clearly was capable of much more, right? So you look at Paul George's career per se, right? You know, he basically goes to Oklahoma City and within 2 years is averaging like 29 points per game almost. I mean, he made first team All-NBAs last year in OKC. He had a okay. I guess his next year he actually had a worst year. But then when he finally figured out how to play with Russ and whatnot, he had a great year. I mean, he had 28 points per game. And that's what we all thought he was going to be eventually, right? Look at his progression, right? I mean, if he didn't get hurt, the thought was by 2015, 16, he'd be the best player in the league or one of the best five. And he was in 2018, 19, one of the best five players in the league. I mean, in the regular season, at least. Postseason, you could make another case. But he was one of the best five players that regular season. He should have, I think he finished in the top five in MVP voting that year even, playing 79 games and putting up basically a 43, 40, and 82, and, you know, 22 and 28 points. Sorry. But anyway, 44, 38, 84 with 28 points per game on 8 rebounds per game. And that's a pretty nice stat line. But the other part of this thing, right, so if he had made All-NBA, maybe he went to sign the Supermax, but they wouldn't be able to offer it, right? So then maybe he doesn't, maybe he says, I want to wait another year and test it out, right? Or maybe he does sign it, right? And if he does sign, what it does set up is an interesting scenario where the Pacers actually have a better roster around him than I think was previously thought. Let's put it that way. If you look at it right now, the Pacers, you know, 2016-17 team was pretty bad, right? So you look at the roster, take the most minutes played during that season, and it was Paul George, Jeff Teague, Turner, Thaddeus Young, Monte Ellis, CJ Miles, Robinson, Glenn Robinson, Al Jefferson, Aaron Brooks, LaVoye Allen, Rodney Stuckey. So right, so you take their top eight, right? So Jefferson would not be in the league anymore, basically, you know, he's washed up at this point. Monte Ellis would be out of the league by this point. And then Lance came in toward the end of the year, also a guy would be out of the league. I mean, you had in Rodney Stuckey was also out of the league. He played 40 games. I mean, they had a lot of guys on this roster who just weren't very good. This team's just not very well constructed, right? So let's say PG does return the next year, right? So the salary cap would have stayed the same because they basically traded PG for a swap in salaries with getting Vic. Actually, they took on more money by getting Vic and Domantas Sabonis, who I think made like 20, maybe 23 combined versus PG made 20. Actually took on a little more. But so in 2017-18, you would have put a lineup of him out there all of a sudden with, it would have been him, Thaddeus Young, the starting five was Darren Collison. I guess you would have put Bowen at the two, PG at the three, Thad at the four, and Turner at the five. The problem here is you wouldn't have Sabonis off the bench, but that would have been a really nice starting five. You throw in Lance, who had an okay year, and you throw in, you know, Corey Joseph, obviously, and maybe you can find another bench guy. The line, but that, you know, there's a good chance that roster was pretty good. I mean, this is a team that won 48 games in an Eastern Conference with really, you know, Vic was really good, but Vic put up, you know, 23 points per game. And I just don't, you know, I feel like Paul George is kind of slots right into the Vic spot, right? So PG is probably, and he's probably shooting better from three than Vic, right? So Vic took, so in 2017-18, Vic took 18 shots per game, shot 47.7 and 37.1 from the field. PG in his last year took 18 shots per game, shooting 46 and 39 from the field. So slot those numbers in, and he probably puts up relatively the same stats, if not even a little bit better, because he shot a little better from three. Basically shot the same from the field, and actually was a better three-point shooter than Vic. And then you put the amount of times you could get the line, too, where he ended up increasing his free throws every time he went in Oklahoma City the last 2 years there. So there's a real chance, you know, that 2017 you could be looking at a Paul George who averages, you know, 25 to 27 a game, maybe, and is putting up, you know, unreal numbers, and the team wins 55 games, and they're, you know, that East, remember, that Pacer team took the Cavs pretty far, right? I mean, they took the Cavs to 7 with the roster they had currently. Now, like I said, the problem with the Pacers is that they had figured out a way to kind of pull out Sabonis from the Oklahoma City still. That would have been a move, but there's a way with the roster where you just swap Vic for PG, and you bring in Sabonis, and that team is probably one of the top three teams in the East. I mean, remember, Boston, them, I guess Toronto was the one seed that year, but Toronto was such a fake team. At least back then it wasn't. Obviously now it's not anymore, but it was that year with DeRozan and Lowry, and just DeRozan especially just wasn't, you know, they were really good in the regular season, but they just weren't a good postseason team, and they just They just didn't quite have it, right? So the Pacers probably could have been good enough to actually like make a run at the East Conference Finals in 2017-18, which also would have added to the case to keep Paul George, because it would have been very close. It also would add to the case that maybe we make a move, right? So they had the ability that offseason too, at the same time, they had the options on Darren Collison and Bojan. So that's $20 million in salary. And there's a possibility here where he stays, they make these conference finals, and they make a move for somebody. Could they make a move for a Kawhi? Maybe. You know, could you have convinced, San Antonio wanted a good player, right? They wanted somebody they could have to make them, you know, help them win games. I know they were big on Bojan the year the Pacers got him. Could they have thrown, you know, some Core Joseph back? I mean, was there a move where the Pacers could have been, you know, in these conference finals in 2017-18, that made a move that summer for Kawhi and had PG and Kawhi back on the Pacers? I mean, there's not that, you know, maybe that's a little bit too much. Maybe they give up Turner and it would have been whatever. But, like, there's some scenarios where that happens simply because the 2016-17 Pacer team was garbage. What we didn't see coming was that they were able to actually turn it around so quickly, right? You know, and I see why Paul George left, right? If you look at it, it makes sense why he left. The team had lots of players who were not very good. It had some bad contracts. It really had a ton of bad contracts, but it had Monte Ellis' bad contract, and it had Al Jefferson's bad contract, and it was just like, where is this team going? What we did see coming was the fact that they would kind of flip it on a dime by, you know, bringing in Collison and Bojan, and that might be more on the Pritchard part and everything like that. So, and there's one more factor in this, and that's Larry Bird, and that's what I'm talking about next. But let's take one quick break before we do that. So today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a great tasting protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It comes in 16 amazing flavors. Bars are 100% covered in chocolate, soft and chewy and easy to eat. Built Bar is a great choice for some healthy conscious person, looking to lose or maintain weight or maybe even bulk up. It's a delicious treat to kind of indulge on. They can help you with its high protein, build muscle, and stay healthy. You know, my favorite one is the protein peanut butter bar. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, just 3 grams of sugar, and just 3 total net carbs. It's a great way, you know, I like to work out after. You can eat a Built Bar, kind of get your protein fixed, help you build those muscles and whatnot. And right now, you go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your first order. That's the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. So the last, like, overarching factor in the PG staying is the fact that Larry Bird was leaving at the end of this year, right? So Pritchard, I think, was already presumed to be the, the president in waiting, right, of the team, right? He becomes the president as soon as Bird retires. But Bird was still there, and Bird was still trying to make it work with PG. And I just think that our relationship had deteriorated to a point where it just wasn't going to work, right? I just don't think they got along. I think, there was a trade deadline point where I think Larry Bird got really, really close to pulling that Celtics trade that actually I think Tony talked about last year that would have, netted somebody like Fultz. Ugh, it didn't work. But, you know, that first overall pick in the draft that summer. And he didn't really tell PG about it. And then PG found out about it, of course, because that's how it works. You know, you don't tell an NBA player. Or he acted like he didn't know about it, whatnot. But, like, you know, in my mind, they probably did not bring Paul George enough into the discussions, right? If you look at it, right, if ownership had reached out to Jordan and be like, listen, we know it looks bleak. Here's our plan. And laid out, listen, you make the All-NBA team, right? You're going to be the All-NBA team next year. I think he doesn't make it in this scenario because he didn't make it, right? But you're going to make it next year. We're going to give you the 220. But here's what we're going to do. Here's what we see as the plan. We're going to go out and sign this guy and trade for this guy, bring in Corey Joseph, and we're going to revamp this roster to give you a lot more pace and space, and you're going to play with kind of a better roster. You got Thad Young there who can kind of help you spell so you don't have to guard the best guy every night at the forward position, and we're going to bring in Corey Joseph, who's a good guarding point guard, and we're just going to have this kind of really well-constructed roster for this year, and you're going to go out and you're going to win 50-plus games because the East is going to be super weak because Kyrie was out, obviously, and obviously they didn't know that time, but like we're going to build this good roster. Kyrie's going to leave and whatnot, and we're going to build this really good team next year, and then we're going to build off that team that maybe wins. You know, I think with him, they are better than with Vic. I mean, Paul George is a better player because of just the position he is. He plays a four, he's a bigger size, he can do more, right? So PG, you know, we're going to win 52 games that year. You're going to be the 3 seed, which I think Philly was the 3 seed at 51 games that season. You'll be the 3 seed. You get the East Conference Finals. Then we'll use that as leverage, and we'll go out and trade for a guy like, you know, the disgruntled superstar, and we'll build around you. Or, you know, come back for even 1 year and let us try to figure out how to get a superstar to you. And that could have been the way, right? They go after Kawhi, and then they do a 5-year deal with George, and you just build on this team, right? You just kind of build on this thing. And that's the scenario that could have happened, right? I think that's a very, you know, there's a lot of factors that have to go well for that to work, so it's not the most likely scenario, but there is a way for it to happen. But the problem was the relationship between Bird and George had kind of deteriorated, and then there was Kevin Pritchard, who I think everybody on the outside knew was going to be the GM, but I don't think there was that discussion or that relationship built between George and Pritchard the way that there at one point was between Bird and George. Obviously was lost. Remember when he asked him to play the four, and PG basically said, "Screw that! I'm not playing the four. I'm a small forward. Screw you. If not, I'm actually even more of a shooting guard," which is kind of what Paul George really is. He's more of a 2-4 hybrid, where he's better at playing the three the best, but he can kind of fill you in at any point. Just kind of in my opinion, but it's interesting to me because I think that's one of the crosswords in George's career. If he doesn't go to Oklahoma City, he ultimately doesn't end up in the Clippers. He could have ended up as a Laker. There are a lot of scenarios. His career has a lot of different twists and turns, and honestly, I think it was also going to happen to him, and the pandemic kind of hurt him, but I think he will maybe get one or two championships, maybe if that, but I think he might have sort of, but he'll never be the superstar that I think he at one point could have been. I think at one point to me, Paul George, especially, and I think the injury really set him back to a point, but I think at one point in Paul George's third or fourth season, I thought, oh, this guy's averaging 21 points at 23 years old. He's going to average 27 in a game in his late 20s. He's going to be the best player in the league, and he's going to, the sky's the limit for him, basically. I mean, at one point, I thought he was one of the three or four best players in the league at, 23 years old, right? If you look at his season, his 2013-14 season, the first part of it, I mean, he was putting up huge numbers, and he was one of the best three players in the league, and then they fell off that year, then he got hurt, and everything got set back. But at that point, he was 23 years old as one of the top, let's say, 5 to 7 players in the league. The sky was the limit. Now he's going to be on be close to 30, and he's really good. He's one of the best 10 players in the league, don't get me wrong, but I thought at one point he had the chance to be kind of, on the levels of the Kawhis and the Giannises and the Hardens and the LeBrons and the Stephs and the KDs. I think he's just that notch below those kind of six superstars, in my opinion. Maybe throw Davis there too, as well. Love to hear your guys' thoughts on this what if. I don't know if you guys would rather have PG here or not, whether you think he would have stayed or whatnot. I think it's a good case he wanted to go to LA no matter what and would have figured it out at that point, but there is a weird way where he could have made his $220 million Supermax and been a Pacer for a lot longer than he ended up being. As always, you can follow us at Locked On Pacers. Tweet there if you want to talk about the Paul George what-if scenario. You can follow me at FreeMadden5. My co-host Tony's at TeastNBA. That's all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys again next week.